Who distributed the prayer for the reincarnation of Kalka Jiten Tamba to come quickly? So is it related to the Sokpo, the Mongolians who made the long life offering from me? So who distributed this? So it hopefully it didn't fall from the sky. So perhaps we should say this prayer for the Kalka Jiten Tambas, the late Kalka Jiten Tamba Rinpoche's swift return. As I have also written at the end of this prayer, we actually knew each other from a very young age, when I was around 10 or 9. Then, after coming to exile in India, and then later on, Rinpoche was able to go back to Mongolia, with which he had a special connection with the Mongolians for over many, many lifetimes. When I met him last time in Mongolia, he was very weak, physically weak, and I told him that he should actually think about coming back in a reincarnation, and that too in Mongolia, where he is related. And then after I returned from there, and when I was in India, and, around towards the end of the Tibetan year, I got a call saying that he is physically weak, and when he should pass away, and where he should pass away. And so there is no one asking such things usually, are there? And then I replied by saying that he should actually pass away in Mongolia itself, but the time of his death should not be now because of the being the end of the year, and he should. I told him that he should pass away in the new year, and so it really happened like that. And in the meantime, he kind of gained some strength and health. And so after his death, I sent my emissary, Jem Samdong Rinpoche, to offer my respects to and the scarf to the body of Kalka Jiten Tamba Rinpoche. So where's Tsawa Wilson Rinpoche? So Rinpoche was there. Tsawa Wilson Rinpoche was there at that time. And then I got a message saying that as Samdong Rinpoche was yet to arrive, Tsawa Rinpoche told me that there is some kind of a flow of red bodhicitta from one of his nostrils. So what should we do? Whether to take the body out or not. And so I told them to wait, and then as Samdong Rinpoche got there and offered my kata to Kalka Jiten Tamba's body, then he seems to have finished his meditative acupoints at that point. And so it's been really nice. Sorry, I don't have the text nor the translation here. I did the translation some time, but so it mentions Kalka Jiten Tamba previous incarnations, like Dolpopa, Kunkin Dolpopa, and so forth. So, thinking of the people and the land of the great, the land of Mongolia, please come back in your reincarnation. And so, may you be a scholar who can engage in teaching, debate, and writing, composition, and the new, as a new coming in the new moon or the fresh moon of the reincarnation. I request you to come back quickly. So may through the power of blessings of the three jewels and the help of Maksur Gyemo, Beldam Hamo, may this prayer that I've made be fulfilled quickly. And so it was at the request, written at the request of Chonang, the followers of the Chonang tradition. I think I saw Chonang Abbot here. Yes, you are there. So all the followers of Chonang tradition and Gomang Monastery and Ganden Monastery of Mongolia and also the Ganden Labdang. So since I knew him, childhood, early. So I was born in Siling, near Kumbum. In Siling, nearby the Kumbum area. So people there seems to be closer to the Jetun Thambas more than the Dalai Lamas. So my father and mother actually knew, were very close to Kaga Jetun Thamba Rinpoche. And because of that, in Lhasa, when I went to see one day my mother, he was there with my mother. So Rinpoche actually had some kind of a scar on his injury on his face, and I heard that that was because his teacher actually beat him. And so I knew him since a very early time. And he has been really dedicated for the beings and the Dharma. And so, after coming to exile, Rinpoche, after Mongolia gained freedom, the sun of freedom rose in Mongolia, shone in Mongolia, and then I enthroned him in Madhya Pradesh, the Tibetan settlement in Madhya Pradesh state. And then with regards to Dölgyel issue, Rinpoche also took great interest and did his best and dedicated to help me. And so, remembering all these things that he did, his Dharma friend, Denzin Gyatso, the Buddhist monk, has written it in 2012, February 5th. Yes, His Holiness is asking if he actually said the one verse praise of Buddha. Yeah, this same one. I prostrate to the Buddha, the Gautama, and who moved by his compassion toward us, holy Dharma, to rid us of all distorted views. So all of us are the followers of the Gautama Buddha. Regarding so the, his vast and profound teachings regarding that, in this 21st century, the new millennium, his teachings the skillful means of contact are very necessary in today's world, and it's very relevant in today's world. And then the practice of non-violence and compassion are something which are common to all the major religious traditions of the world. And then when it comes to philosophical view, the view of dependent origination or interdependent is something which is unique to Buddhism. No other religious traditions teach this. And so, any intelligent person in this world only praise this teaching on dependent origination, cannot find any fault and inconsistency in regard to this teaching. So, those who are unbiased, as Tsongkhapa says, that no one can find any fault in your teaching because it is based on this teaching on dependent origination. And so, we are followers of this such a Buddha. And then regarding the monastics, we have left householder life and following in the footsteps of the Buddha himself, and I have this opportunity to practice the Dharma. So we have to make this time, this opportunity, a worthy one. How do we do this? Is having met with the Dharma, and is by disciplining our mind and make strides in our practice. So if the Buddha has taught the Four Noble Truths, and so we need to do our practices within the framework of these Four Noble Truths. So this the essence of mantra, the essence of dependent origination mantra, Om Ye Dharma Hetu Prabhava and so forth, is something which is said in all Buddhist traditions. So what it says is, all phenomena arise from causes, and these causes are taught by the Buddha, the Tathagata, and the cessation of these, it is also taught by him, by the sage. And so things do not come. What this teaches is things do not come from without causes, nor from permanent causes, nor from some incompatible causes. So they come from compatible causes. So the effects arise from concordant causes. And therefore, if you harm others, what law of causality says is that then, as a consequence, you suffer. Whereas if you help others, if you benefit others, then as a consequence, you also experience happiness. And so these two, the results of happiness or suffering, come from disciplined on and undisciplined mind. So this undisciplined nature of the mind is not within the intrinsic nature of the mind itself. It comes through distorted view, the ignorance. And therefore this is something which can be overcome through antidote, by applying antidote. And therefore, it is possible to eliminate it from the mind itself. And therefore, the cessation of that cause, the ignorance, is eliminated by developing knowledge and uproot, it's uprooted. And so, the fact that effects arise from its causes is something which is accepted by all who accept causality. So not only are the effects dependent on their causes, but the cause is also contingent upon its causes. So by understanding the effects arise through its causes, then we can eliminate the ignorance about causality. Whereas by understanding that even the causes are dependent or related to their effects, then we understand that things are merely dependent and eliminate this ignorance about the dependency of things, the designated dependency of things. And therefore, as Nagarjuna says, which I quote often, enthused by compassion, you taught the holy Dharma to rid us of all distorted views, homage to the Gautama. And so, with altruism, developing altruism, then he developed bodhisattva and engaged in the bodhisattva practices and became fully enlightened, and so became an authoritative, a valid person. And therefore, the Buddha Nagarjuna says, enthused by your compassion. So no sentient being wants suffering, which is quite natural instinct. As I said before, the suffering comes from ignorance, a distorted or misconception. And so this has to be overcome by developing the right knowledge. And therefore, he says, in order to rid us of all distorted views, you taught the holy Dharma. And therefore, I pay homage to you, Gautama, who was born in the Shakya lineage. And therefore, Jerembuche says, you taught what you have seen. And therefore, following you, I'll be able to overcome all the shortcomings. Whereas holding on to the view of self or Atman or soul, then you actually intensify the distorted view. And so, it's not only saying that, oh, I am following the Buddha, this is said by the Buddha, that's not enough, but you need to actually understand the teaching through reason and logic. As the followers, those followers with sharp faculty would do. And so we need to develop this kind of understanding that comes through, that is grounded in reason. Of course, there are people who just base themselves on faith alone. But the main follower of the Buddha must be someone with sharp faculty who are able to develop faith grounded in reason. And therefore, the monastics who are gathered here in large number are engaged in the study of Buddhism, and you are doing that. And so the teachers have done really great job and have been dedicated. And those people who have received their certificates here, and you have done such studies, and the older generation will finish, and me too included. So when we are no more, the younger generation have the responsibility for the preservation and promotion of the Dharma will fall on you. And then there will come a time when you would say, oh, in the past, His Holiness the Dalai Lama used to say this. And so even after we have passed away, you should take the responsibility and feel determined to make it, to preserve and promote the Dharma ever stronger. So we are in the 21st century, and then there are more and more people taking interest in Buddhism, and especially in China as well. So as I think I have mentioned it, in China, there are 400 to 500 million Chinese Buddhists, and then the number is still increasing year by year. So as this is actually something which is quite natural, when people become more intelligent and more wise using their intelligence, then it's very difficult for them to follow on blind faith. So of course there are religious traditions which are based more on faith. These religious traditions will, of course, remain in the world for the next centuries, several centuries. But after that, we don't know what will happen. So we usually talk about Maitreya Buddha, the future Buddha. So we make prayer for meeting with the teaching of the Maitreya Buddha. When he arrives in this world at the Bodh Gaya. So sometimes I find this kind of prayer quite silly, because we already have the teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha. So I don't think the Shakyamuni teaching, Shakyamuni Buddha's teaching, is less than teaching of Maitreya Buddha, if not more or greater. And so while we have the teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha, if we don't take any care of it, and then making prayer that we may meet with the teaching of the Lord Maitreya in the future is quite silly. And so this teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha must remain for posterity for long. And so the teachers and the students have actually been doing well in preserving and promoting the Dharma. And so as it says in the 7-point instruction, mind training instruction, of the two, you should consider yourself to be the best judge of yourself. And so because your mind is not hidden from you at all, so we should do whatever we could to achieve Buddhahood. We need to practice, and for that we need to know how to go about with the practice, and for that we need to hear the teaching. And so we are going to go through the Lamrim teaching, which is like the grand lamp in the three realms of existence. Sometimes we say, oh, Lamrim is for practice, whereas the five canonical treatises or texts are meant for study, intellectual knowledge. And so in Gelsab Dharma Rinchen's commentary on Abhisamaya Alamkara, he intermittently gives advices applying the teachings in practice. So sometimes we don't hear that people who say that I'm studying the Prajnaparamita texts and also Madhyamaka texts and also doing practice. So it seems that people use these studies, these texts, in order to see contradictions. And so we need to check these teachings within ourselves, related to ourselves. So the purpose of these teachings is to subdue the self-cherishing attitude and grasping at true existence. And therefore, we should relate these teachings to our own mind and then reflect. So sometimes we do think that Lamrim, the stages of Path Enlightenment, are meant for practice, whereas the five canonical texts are for study. And so we need to know that these studies are also meant for practice. So perhaps I'm saying too much.
Money
So Lamrim is, if Lamrim were, is meant for only those who wish to practice, and when we need to do practice, if Lamrim is meant for only for that, then we don't need the Kanjur and Denjur literature. So, if we actually consider the classic texts of Kanjur and Tenjur as merely for intellectual knowledge, then that is quite wrong. So how to take an essence in the teaching? So here the main when we talk about the beings of small scope, it's mainly those who aspire to a higher rebirth in the next life. So mainly, of course, the focus of the Lamrim is for those for developing bodhicitta, but as a preliminary practice to the bodhicitta, we have the practices pertaining to beings of intermediate scope and small scope. So, for example, it says if you have no intention to go somewhere, then you would stay where you are. So here, those who pursue the Dharma, it is important to train the mind on the topic on death and impermanence, and hence this will be explained under 3 points. Contemplating death is definite, and contemplating the uncertainty of the time of death, and then contemplating that at the time of death is only Dharma and nothing else that will benefit. And regarding the first point, the companion of the teachings on impermanence says, whoever, even the Buddhas, Pratyeka Buddhas and the Shravakas, had given up this exalted body, what need is there to talk about the ordinary beings? And then the companion further says, there is no place in any direction where death cannot overpower you, not in the sky and not in the oceans, nor even if you penetrate deep into the mountains. Thus, we will definitely die. So even the perfectly and completely enlightened Buddhas who have control over their life and death transcended suffering in order to instigate the followers with grasping on permanence. Likewise, countless scholars, accomplished practitioners, kings, ministers, bodhisattvas, etc., high and low individuals that are mentioned in the religious books, annals, and histories. When we do not investigate all, they all seem to exist now, but when we analyze carefully, what remains is just the stories about them, what has happened, and they are not found living anywhere in any place, time, and in any situation, and they have all manifested the transcendence of suffering. They have all passed away. Abbots, masters, parents, students of the same teacher, relatives, friends, and enemies, relatives, neutral beings, and infinite beings, and so forth. And so this is about thinking or contemplating that death is inevitable. And then, so it says, thus reflect well through examples and reasons and meditate until there is decisive conclusion about the definite inevitability of death. And next, contemplating the uncertainty of the time of death. Having meditated thus, if you think, finally one is not beyond death, but for the time being I will engage in activities of destroying the enemies, look after the relatives, and endeavor to obtain favorable facilities for Dharma practice, and finally engage in Dharma practice. Even though a lifespan of sentient being of the three realms is explained, that is explained in terms of maximum length of lifespan, and there is no definiteness that the life will endure, as is explained, except the Kuru. Particularly in the case of the people from this earth, the Jambudvipa, the Abhidhammakosha states, here it is indefinite, uncertain. In the end, it is 10, and in the beginning, it was immeasurable, so lifespan. Thus, the very meager definiteness is explained, and as explained, we have actually seen in the past the death of many who are younger than oneself. Right now, there are many who are older than myself, and there is no certainty that I will not die before them. As is said in the compendium, the two, tomorrow and the next life, it is not certain which will come first. Hence, not striving for tomorrow's death, it is improper to strive for next life. It is proper to strive for the next life. As said here, tomorrow's date, number, and the intermediate being of the next life. Which one of these two will come first cannot be determined. Some might think, through multifarious ways, there are many factors of life that, like food, therapy, medical treatment, precious garland states. Factors for death are many, and those for life are very few. Even these ones, also for death, as such, always engage in the Dharma. And so, meditate until you develop definite experience towards lack of knowledge of when one will die in whatever way one thinks. This is similar like remaining watchful every day if any unruly enemy is certain to come to you, but it is uncertain at what time it will come. Hence, it is vital. Then the third is the contemplating that at the time of death, nothing but Dharma will help. The Bodhisattvacharya Avatara states, the one who is caught by the death's messenger, what benefit is there by relatives and from relatives, and so what benefit is there from friends? At that time, the only refuge is merit, and that also I have not cultivated. Until you reach a point where you are able to gain control over your mind and the prana energy, then whereby you can also attain the Vidyadhara state, deathless states and so forth, which is very difficult for us to attain now. But in any case, we need to make ourselves not regret at the end of our life, as the Kadamba masters used to say. Even though it is not not dying, but the way process, the way of death will not be the same as in the case of the best practitioner. One does not fear death. The middle practitioner will not feel reluctant. And the lowest, the least practitioner will not repent as it comes from the oral traditions of the Kadamba masters. And then there's the intermediary verses. And then the next section is about reflecting on the suffering of bad beings or suffering of the unfortunate beings. This has three parts, reflecting on suffering of the hell beings, of animals, and of hungry ghosts. With regard to the first, there are two, hot hell and cold hell. Regarding the first, the hot hells, the reason for meditating on the topic of impermanence and death earlier is after death, the subsequent similar type will not cease its continuity. Like extinction of a lamp or burning of a heap of grass by fire, there is no other way but to definitely take birth. With regards to birth, also it will not be beyond birth of either a happy migration or bad migration. In the case of virtue, the cause of birth in happy migration, one does not remember having accumulated any with satisfaction and confidence, and it is also unsure whether one has accumulated in the past lives or not. In the case of non-virtuous actions, it is like a royal treasured store. Wherever you see, you will find it accumulated. If one has to experience its result, the sufferings of bad migrations, there is no difference whether it occurs on this very body or it occurs after transferring into another body. Right now, while one is not analyzing occurrence of the sickness like a tumor or wound, it appears that it is experienced on the flesh and bone at that very place, but in reality the experience is the mind. If that is not the case, then there should be pain even when we strike weapons on the corpse after death, but it is certain that there will be no pain. So it is uncertain whether this mind is today, that is today experiencing the glory of and wealth of gods and humans, and on it the suffering of hell without respite will not occur tomorrow. So His Holiness was asking what they were saying, and it seems they were just gossiping. In order to cultivate renunciation, discouragement on these processes, protector renunciation on these processes, Protector Nagarjuna has said, remember every day the hells, which are extremely hot and cold. As said, the sufferings of hell must be remembered. With regard to the process of remembrance, right now in the case of the majority, they verbally recite vaguely quotations and verses, and then with an extrovert mind, they act like observing others' suffering. That will not fall on the mind so much. So, with regard to the whole hot hell, it is said that in general everything below will be burning iron ground, surrounded all around will be burning iron fence and fire flames below and above are completely burning flames and within that fire storms. So that is how hot. And then the different realms Within the hot hell realm, the first is reviving hell in such a place. As I have just mentioned, you should think that you are actually born there and meditate with effort, and your body develops a sense of uneasiness, and your mind a sense of fear and being disheartened. When that happens, think that there are many of these sentient beings. So after having studied all the different texts, if you really feel nothing of the practice, it says your mind and the Dharma have actually gone separate. So if you find your previous mind and way of life intact as it is, then the Dharma and yourself have actually been divorced from each other. And then the black line, the hell realm, the guardians of the hell realm draws eight lines and cuts it with on your body and cuts it with weapons. And then the crushing and gathering and destroying hell realm. Even though it is not necessary that one has to be born in all the eight hells, but here it is written from the perspective of meditating on in accordance with the stages of guidance. So when one goes after getting the feeling of running away from the earlier suffering, one comes in between mountains, having the face of goat, sheep, cow, lion, etc., and crushed, and streams of blood flows from all the openings. Howling or hell realm, one again runs, and when reaches inside an iron house, that door closes without distinction. And fire burns from all directions, and one is burnt, and then howls distinctly, thinking that now there is no place even to run or escape. Then the great howling hell realm. It is said that one should meditate that this very iron house is surrounded by another iron house. But according to the thought of the Lama, when one comes out from one iron house and runs away, one gets trapped in two-layered iron houses, and suffering is two times intense or greater than the previous one. This is because you will mentally feel that even if it is possible to come out from the inner iron houses, it is not possible to come out from the external ones. For example, if the prison has two levels of walls, one will suffer by fearing that even if it is possible to burst or break out the inner wall, it will not be possible to break out of the external wall. And then the hot hell, burning iron spikes pierces from the lower opening or anus to the crown of the fire flame, and the fire flames emit from all openings of the senses, and the whole body is boiled in molten water. And the very hot hell, the central prong of the trident spike, comes out from the crown, and the right and the left ones comes out from the shoulders, and burning irons and sheets are wrapped around the body like a woolen cloth. When cooked in the molten water, the flesh and blood disintegrates and becomes like a skeleton. And you become like a skeleton. And hell without respite, fire burns from all directions in a state where the body and the fire becomes indistinguishable. The sound of crying could be just heard. And these are the sufferings also, and these sufferings also do not end only by the short time, as it is said in the Abhidharma. Counting 50 human years as one full day of God's of the desire realm is slightly difficult to understand and unclear. Thus, out of the eight hells, the one with the shortest life is reviving hell, and its lifespan is one great tituk. 6 tuktik and 2 great terbum. Or 2 great billions. And if you think how the others double, one's heart will simply split. Epistle to the friend says, Nagarjuna's friendly letter, as long as non-virtuous actions do not cease, till that long, to that extent, life will not depart or settle. As stated, one should think with a way of behavior, it is certain that a longer duration than this will not come, and meditate until definite transformation is brought about. And then the cold hand rents. So with regard to the suffering of animals, of course, we can actually see that, and therefore we can find this the suffering of animals unbearable. And then next, after the hell realm comes the suffering of animal realms, and then the hungry ghost realm, the suffering, the third suffering of hungry ghost. Nagarjuna's epistle to a friend says, in the hungry ghost realm, also there are continuous unchanging sufferings developed through deprivation of desire, and extremely intolerable experience developed through hunger, thirst, cold, heat, fatigue, and fear. Thus, three types of hungry ghosts have been explained, out of which, in the case of those with external obscuration, when they see fruits of trees and river and go to enjoy them, they either see them guarded by those wielding weapons, or they see them as pus, blood, and etc. In the case of those with internal obscuration, in the city called Kapila, where there is no desirable object at all, like water, plants, etc., and there one does not find food, drink, etc. Even if one finds a little, due to the fact that one's mouth is like the eye of a needle, the neck like the string of a horse tail, the stomach like Mount Meru, and the limbs like a blade of glass, the food does not go into mouth. Then even the little that goes in does not go through the neck. Even if it goes, there is the suffering of not being able to fill up the stomach. Those with the obscuration of food and drink, even the food and drink goes aflame and suffer pitiably by eating excretion and urine, and also drinking urine and one's own flesh. Also in the summer, that the moon feels hot, and in the winter the sun feels cold. By merely looking, the river dries and appear as ravine and thus experiences various sufferings. Contemplate that one is born in such a form of among these as explained, and meditate in a way that would definitely fall into one's mind. Such then, so the suffering of hell realm is finished. And then we leave there. This, the next topic is about relying on the means of happiness in the future life. So we are not, moving to switching to the southern lineage in the yellow book on page. In the revised edition, where it says the way to take full advantage of freedom and fortune. This has three parts: the training on the mind in the stages of the path shared with lesser beings, and then the intermediate shared with intermediate beings, the path of the great beings. And training with regard to the first, training the mind in the stages of the path shared with lesser beings, the lamp of the path, lamp for the path says, he who, by whatever means, takes personal interest in the pleasures of cyclic existence alone is known as a lesser being. And this has two topics, generating concern for future lives and relying on the methods for happiness in the future lives. Regarding the first, there are two paths to it, contemplating impermanence in the form of death and contemplating the suffering of lower realms. Regarding the first, except for some foolish and ignorant people who do not question whether death will occur, most think that they will die one day, but not until they get old, since every year, every month, and every day they think that they will not die, even when they are stuck with a mortal disease or struck with a mortal disease, or have reached the age of 100. Their hope is to go on living in is obvious. As a result, they are driven by this life's concerns alone. Reverse this attitude and think, there is no guarantee that I will not die tomorrow. I may make provisions for next month, but there is not the slight assurance that at the time I will not be reborn with a body with different from, very different from my present one, with horns cropped. Once this thought is firm within you, it will naturally prevent you from striving after this life's activities, and automatically induce you to apply the methods for happiness in future lives. And this has topic is threefold: contemplating the death certainty, contemplating the uncertainty of the time of death, and contemplating the fact that at the time of death, nothing but the Dharma will help. Contemplating death is certain. The collection says, if all Buddhas and Tolerant realizers and Buddhas listeners as well must give up their physical bodies, what is to be said of ordinary beings? So the same verses quoted in the Fifth Dalai Lama's text. Wherever you may live, there is no place where death cannot reach you, not in the sky, nor in the depths of sea, and not even if you lived in the heart of deep in the mountains. Although the fully accomplished Buddhas who appeared in the past gained mastery over birth and death, they passed into nirvana. The same is true of the countless superiors, average and superior average and lesser people, Indian and Tibetan scholars and saints, kings, ministers, bodhisattvas, and so on, whose life stories are told in religious histories, annals, and in the oral tradition. If you do not think about it, you might have the impression that they are still alive today, but when you examine the matter properly, accepting accounts of past events, none of them remain in any time, place, or circumstances. All have demonstrated passing into nirvana. Think. Please read through. Among the people that I have known personally, abbots, students, parents, relatives, companions, friends, and so on, whether enemies, friends, and strangers, so many of them have gone on to new lives. If I cannot point to anyone who in the past did not die and managed to escape death, how could I alone be the exception to the rule and not have to die? Even if I live the average lifespan of 60 years, once my time has run out, I will have no choice but to leave. Each day is eaten up by 24,000 inhalations and exhalations. Each month is consumed by 30 days. Each 12 months, each year, by 12 months, each year is exhausted. 12 of those years constitute a cycle of a year. Once 5 have passed, I will have reached the end of my life. The extensive sport says, impermanence of the three worlds is like autumn clouds. Seeing beings' birth and death is like watching scenes from a play. Beings' lives pass like flashes of lightning in the sky and are swiftly spent like water down a steep mountainside. Not for a single moment does a life remain still, unlike food and wealth, which can be replenished as they are gradually depleted. One cannot add to the consumed lifespan. The guide of Bodhisattva way of life says, pausing neither day nor night, this life shortens constantly. If it can never be prolonged, how could someone like me not die? Thoroughly contemplating the matter in this way by means of examples and reasonings, meditate until you have arrived at the conclusion that you are certain to die. And then, contemplating uncertainty of the time of death, by meditating in this way, once you have understood that you cannot escape death, if you imagine that after striving to suppress enemies, care for enemies, and create conditions conducive to religious practice, you can then practice the Dharma. Note that formerly a large number of people younger than you have already died, that many people older than you are still alive, and that consequently it is not certain that you will not die before them. The collections says, of the two, tomorrow and the next life, it is unknown which will come first. So instead of striving for tomorrow's sake, better strive for the sake of future lives. We cannot be sure which of the two will occur first, tomorrow or the next intermediate state. Some people think that thanks to the availability of many methods, diet, medical treatments and so forth, there are many ways to sustain life. However, the jewel garland says the conditions of death are many. Those sustaining life are very few. These two may become causes for death. Thus, always practice Dharma and think, food may disagree with me. I may have an adverse reaction to medicines. Houses may collapse, boats sink, friends deceive me, and so on. Many factors sustaining life become factors of death. Not only that, I cannot be certain that death will not occur right now due to harm inflicted inflicted by the spirit of the ether. Meditate until you are sure to have gained an experience of the uncertainty of the time of death. Then contemplating that at the time of death, nothing but the Dharma will be of any use. The guide to the Bodhisattva way of life says, when seized by the Yama's messengers, what use are relatives, what use are friends, then only my merit will protect me, but that I have failed to acquire. So think, when it is certain that the time has come for the highway known as the death and impermanence to appear as swiftly as waterfall flows down a steep mountain, then no remedies, mantras, concentrations, or brave men's weapons can avert it. The wealth of the rich cannot bribe it. The words of the eloquent cannot deceive it. And it goes without saying that I will not have the power to bring with me the many friends and relatives around me, nor any influence in wealth, even if it rivals that of a well-wielding monarch. Indeed, I will even have to utterly abandon the very body that has been my constant companion since my mother's womb. only by consciousness. My consciousness, like a hair pulled out of a butter, will go on. At that time, the only thing that will accompany me and be of any use is my previously accumulated virtue, in other words, the holy Dharma, nothing else. Meditate on this persistently until you gain an experience of it. Then contemplate the suffering of lower realms, reflecting on the three, the suffering of hell-being, animals, and hungry spirits. The first has two parts, hot hell and cold hell. So please read on. So we saw this is on the suffering in the hungry ghost realm. Contemplating the suffering of hungry spirits on page 211 in the new edition, revised edition. So among the three kinds of hungry spirits, when those with other outer obstacles, see fruits, trees, and rivers, and go to take from them. Either they see gods brandishing weapons, or they perceive them as pus and blood and suffer as a result. Those with inner obstacles are found in a town called Kapila, devoid of everything desirable, water, fruits, and fruit trees, and so on. Hence, they cannot find anything to eat or drink. If they do find a little, given that their mouths are the size of a needle's eye, their throats as narrow as horse hair, and their bellies as big as Mount Sumeru, and their limbs as thin as a blade of grass, the food does not fit into their mouths. Or if some does, it cannot go down their throat, or if it does, it does not fill their stomach, hence they suffer. So then we finished this topic on the sufferings of the three lower realms. On page 212, we stopped there. And now that as a human, I have distinguished myself from an animal, it is time to take courage again and again, spur yourself on, it says at the end of this topic. Let's move to the swift path. The topic is how to take advantage in this life. So regarding this, there are three topics. Training the mind in the path shared with the small beings with a small capacity. Training the mind in the path being shared with beings of intermediate capacity. And then training the mind in the path of great beings, as before. And then the first one has two parts in it. How to go about with your practices during the actual meditation session, and how to go about with your practice during the post-meditation, in between sessions. And the first one, regarding the first one, doing how to go about with the practice in actual meditation session, has three parts. The preparation, preparatory part, actual practice, and the conclusion.
Tenjo kore.
So actually we are on the part on, yesterday His Holiness has stopped at the part on the precious human life. So having relied on the a qualified guru, how to train one's mind has two parts. Taking advantage in this human life with leisure, freedom, and fortune, and encouraging, spurring on to take that advantage, and then how to take advantage. And so the first one has two parts in it. How to go about with the practice, how to practice in the actual session, and how to what to do during the post-meditation sessions. So with regard to the first one, there are two. And so with regard to the first one, on how to do practice, on how to practice during the actual session, on the practice of reciting and doing your practice by reciting the verses where it says, I make request to the Munindra Vajradhara, who is the embodiment of all the objects of refuge, and the Lama, great extraordinary deity, and so forth, are same as before. And so think that the fact that you are suffering, you and all sentient beings are suffering for a long time in samsara is because of not having realized this extraordinariness of extraordinary realization of seeing this life of humans, precious life, as being meaningful, and that it is difficult to find such a life. And so you pray to the master deity to bless you so that you may be able to realize this meaning, the significance, and this rare-to-find human life like this one, and then so on. And so having done that, then you imagine nectars flowing from the master and turn to you and all sentient beings, dispelling all the negativities of yourself and all sentient beings, and then especially on the obscurations and sins which actually hinder you from having this realization of finding this human life significant and rare to find. And then with that purification, then your body, and you imagine that this body feels like a light, and in the nature of light, and all the, your lifespan, merit, and also the scriptural knowledge and realizations also increase. and further and further, and particularly with regard to your experience of finding this precious human life to be significant and difficult to find, that realization you realize it within yourself and all sentient beings. So imagine that. And then with regard to the actual that is about preliminary practice, and then during the as part of the actual practice, you think about the this has two parts: identifying leisure and opportunity, or freedom and fortune. So this has two parts. Considering that this life with freedom and fortune is meaningful and that it is difficult to find. And so regarding the first one, there are 8 freedoms and then 10 fortunes. So you meditate on this. So regarding the first, you focus or imagine the master deity on your crown, and then go through the practice. So this life that I've found is a life of freedom or leisure, because of the opportunity to practice the Dharma. And because I'm free from the 8 unleisurely existences. So in the text, with regard to the 8 unleisurely states, they are mentioned in the sutra called the condensed Pranjaparamita Sutra. And then the 10 fortunes are the 5 that are within oneself, the 5 aspects of fortune or opportunity that pertains to yourself, and then 5 aspects that pertains to the others. So with regard to the first one, they are being born in the as a human being, being born in a central land and having all your faculties intact and senses intact, and then having not committed the irreversible karma, and then having faith in the objects suitable to keep faith in. So the text says that having faith in the right object is having faith in the Vinaya Dharma. So not having committed the irreversible action is not having committed the heinous actions. And then with regard to the 5 opportunities or fortune pertaining to others, there are the Buddha having come into the world, and then that he has given the teaching, and then the teaching still remaining, and also there are beings who are training or following the teaching, and then the sponsors and patrons actually making offerings of the robes, Dharma robes and so forth. And then having the and then the teachers actually giving teachings to others compassionately. His Holiness has finished with the how to take advantage, which has three parts. Training the mind in the path shared with the common called the small beings and the intermediate and then the great beings. And within this regard to the first so with regard to the actual meditation session, there are the preliminaries, the actual practice, and the conclusion. So with regard to the actual practice, So in our life, we have very little time to do the practice. As Gongdan Rinpoche says, 20 years went by not being able to practice, 20 years went by thinking that I, wishing that I could practice, and 20 years went have gone by empty-handed. So this is the story of someone who has lived a life, empty-handed life. Because
Sangin
with regard to, we are on the topic of death. The actual meditation parts is three parts: thinking that death is inevitable, thinking that time is of death is uncertain, and thinking that at the time of death nothing but spirituality will help. So the first of these has three sections, and the first of them, thinking that the Lord of death will certainly come and that it cannot be averted by any condition, is like this. While visualizing the Guru deity on your crown, reflect like this: this life of freedom and riches, which is difficult to find, yet greatly significant, which I have found once in this time, will not last long, but will break down. For whatever corporeal life I may be born into, that, like ultimately, they cannot escape death. For instance, we find mention in Sutras few accounts of how all the past Buddhas who existed, even the number of particles of ocean waters have appeared one after the other, ripened and liberated their disciples, and finally passed away. And when our teacher, the Bhagavan Buddha, was about to pass away in order to inspire those disciples, those beings who cling to permanence of life, the noble Shariputra, together with 80,000 arahats, Moggallan, together with 70,000 arahats, and Prajapati, together with 500 arahats, passed away. Because there is no translation of this swift path, I'm just reading from another text, just to give you some idea of what we are going through. And so, all simultaneously with their respective entourage. After the Bhagwan went to Kushinagar and sat down at two sala trees and led the mendicant Subhadra to arahat shape, he passed away immediately thereafter, feeling it unbearable to witness the death of the Bhagwan. When Rahul felt unable to witness the passing away of the teacher, the Buddha Shakyamuni, and went to numerous Buddhas, by miraculously traveling across many different worlds, those Buddhas persistently urged him to return to the teacher, which he did, and then received his final testament. Ananda lamented, "When the light of the universe sets, what should I tell people? Should I say he went to Kapilavastu or Rajagriha or what?" And he fell unconscious. When he became unconscious again, the Bhagwan gave him lots of future prophecies and together with that entrusted him the teaching. Then the Bhagwan removed his upper noble. Removed his upper robe and said, "Bhikshus, look at me. It is rare to find the site of Tathagata. All composed things are impermanent. This is the last word of the Tathagata. Having spoken this, he assumed passing away. At that time, it is said that since 80 million arhats passed away, only 500 arhats were left during the first council for anthologizing the words of the Buddha. So we are going through the different hell realms. So the cause of lower hell realm is very strong and grave negative actions, and particularly these five heinous actions. And then if you commit downfall of the Bodhisattva vows, and by if you become angry with Bodhisattvas, they also cause you to be reborn in hell realm. So the it is said that if you become angry with the Bodhisattva, then the number of times corresponding to the number of times that you become angry, the number of moments of that anger, and corresponding to that, you will suffer in samsara. I mean, in hell realm. It is said in the commentary on the Kali Chakra Tantra. So the four opponent forces are the best practice for purification of the negative actions. Then we have the sufferings of the hungry ghost realm. So the hungry ghost realm have different obscurations or obstacles to take food and drinks, internal and external.
Chapanisha
The animals have the suffering of eating one another and also stupidity. So the small animals fear being preyed by Garuda and other big birds and so forth. So abandoning the Dharma and also criticizing those who are in the Dharma and so forth cause you to have rebirth in the lower realms, the animal realms. So you again visualize the guru on your crown and then do the visualization of the nectar flowing into you and purifying you of negativities.
So the second is relying for the means for happiness in the future. And here it's speaking about taking refuge to the three jewels. And here the primary one is taking refuge, which is for the Mahayana practitioners. So even in the taking refuge to the triple jewels, we can make different categorization depending upon the three kind of the persons. First, taking refuge has two actual and precepts. The first Bodhicharya avatar says, just as a mist cloud in the dark night, the flash of lightning shows clear appearance for a moment. Similarly, due to Buddha's power, and the precepts for the taking refuge is such that having a name or a title of a monk or a practitioner and misusing one's position or rank to gain one's own benefit, then it is against the precepts of going taking refuge. Thus, in order to think through these ways, having fear to faults, faith to virtue, and compassion to sentient beings, similar like oneself, the dark human where even the vote of Dharma is not hard is like amidst the darkness of the gathering of black clouds in the night. So we are reading the sacred words of Manjushri, and we do not have the English translation for this text. We are going through the Tibetan text and trying as much as possible to interpret into English. In addition to that, even in this life, in the name and form of a Dharma practitioner, instead of deceiving others by an addicted mind, if one analyzes the mode of engagement of one's mind with the scriptures, those on the non-virtuous sides are much more. With regard to the object of refuge, also Acharya Dignaga says, remaining well in the ocean, the crocodile of ceaseless attachment devours the body. Thus, in the question from he asks, where the sentient beings should take refuge, and in the form of the answer, Devayangajuba states, to whom who is totally absolute with all, and to whom in all aspects all qualities exist, there is a mind, one should go for refuge to that alone. So here it's speaking about what kind of the object or what are the qualities that we have to see in the three jewels. And it states here that the three jewels, especially first the Buddha, should be someone who is totally and absolutely without fault, and to whom by all aspects all the different qualities exist. And I said, someone who is less powerful and less controlling than the enemy will not be able to protect one from the fears of that outside enemy. Likewise, even if one relies on the powerful gods and men like Vishnu and Mahesh, since they themselves are not free from cyclic of existence and suffering from the falls of samsara, thus are not worthy of permanent refuge. So then, who is proper? 70 verses of taking refuge says, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha are object of refuge for those desiring liberation. As said, the three jewels are said to be the permanent refuge because they are free from the faults just explained and possess the qualities. In order to take refuge, after having found the conviction that they are non-deceiving, even though there are many cycles of visualization of taking refuge, but the thought of system of this religion with that personal fabrication through putting together seemingly similar types is as said in praising the examples. Your body adorned by signs is beautiful and nectar for the eye, is like autumn sky free from clouds and adorned by a collection of stars. Even though we should contemplate in this way, but the merit to directly hear one that is similar to the speech of the Buddha, or one that could be his example, is very narrow. Therefore, infer from a sweet sound like a guitar that you like at present, the melodious sound of the speech that comes out of the throat of that Buddha, the one who is fully awakened, form is extremely beautiful, has the 64 branch tunes. If all the sentient beings of three realms ask questions at the same time, through the answer to the question shown in the form of one language, say Sanskrit, arises in the language of individual beings and dispel doubts at the same time. Thus, as before experienced, this through the three faith. As said, in terms of qualities of knowledge, it is not hidden to all phenomena and the primordial consciousness. Knowing all aspects is skill in looking after of the followers. As said, being bound by the great compassion which cares beings, he has no distant or close feeling toward the one that anoints central anointments on the right and the other that chops cut off the left. Therefore, one should reflect as before on how he possesses compassion like a mother to her only son. So here the quality of understanding and realization, which is none other than the omniscient mind, is the main quality that differentiates this Lord Buddha from the other teachers. And as Nagarjuna says, he is the one who preached the four, who preached through having understanding the reality of all the phenomena. And of course, understanding through having a great and distinct understanding of dependent origination. So having such a profound realization and experience for himself, and through those understandings and realizations, and when he preached of give teaching, then of course he is able to give teaching in terms of what the disciples require. And as stated in praising the praiseworthy, only your primordial consciousness pervades the whole object of knowledge, whereas in the case of all others, the object of knowledge alone for exists. As said in terms of qualities of knowledge, it is not hidden to all phenomena, and the primordial consciousness, knowing all aspects, is skilled in looking after of the followers. 150 verses says, all the sentient beings without difference are bound by afflicted emotions. You, in order to liberate the afflicted emotions of the sentient beings, are bound by compassion for a long time. Shall I pay homage to you first, or to the great compassion due to which you remain so long in the cycle of existence? As said, being bound by the great compassion, which cares and loves all sentient beings, he has no distant or close feeling towards the one that anoints the anointments on the right and other that cuts off the left. Therefore, one should reflect as before on how he possesses compassion, like a mother to her only son or daughter. In the 150 verses, it also states that you taught the means to destroy afflicted emotions, as revealed the deceitful ways of devils, stated the inexhaustible nature of cyclic existence, and also shown the fearless side, or which is free from fear. You are the compassionate one who contemplates on benefiting with regard to things that should be done to sentient beings. Is there any other thing left which you have not done? And it suggests mere love to sentient beings, is there even to Savarkas or Pratigya Buddhas, but merely having it is of no use. If you think sincere, the great individual is the main, therefore one seeks actual refuge in the non-abiding nirvana. Hence, what is the purpose of maintaining refuge in the nirvana? As an exception, a bodhisattva who has attained the spiritual level does not have to take refuge to the dharma of abandonments and realizations, and the sangha of the first level and itself becomes casual refuge, and thus it is treated like a bridge that liberates from the fear of the water. However, those of us who have not entered the bath should take refuge to the objects of refuge of all the three vehicles. Therefore, we should not follow those who blabber without understanding the points of the scriptures. Based on the reason of having faith to the qualities of three supreme rarities, if you do not have trust and respect and veneration that wholeheartedly relies thinking whatever happens, good or bad, you know, then you do not have the loaf or the ring in the absence of which the hook cannot draw. Similarly, even if the Buddha's compassion is great, his method and wisdom will go separately. Therefore, recollect the qualities that were just mentioned and the interests while competing each other with compassionate motivation towards all sentient beings. Imagine that you are overborne by great compassion. He comes like a bird flying and say this, I take refuge to the Buddha, the supreme of the biped. Be my teacher, liberating from the suffering of cycle of existence and bad existence. Be my teacher, liberating from the cycle of existence and bad existence. I take refuge to the Dharma, the supreme among those free from attachment. Be my actual refuge of liberating from the fear of cycle of existence and bad existence. I take refuge to the Sangha, the Supreme of Community. Be my support, liberating from the sufferings of cycle of existence and bad migration. Such words should be made to recite on a rosary, etc., in one session. Repeat it 100 times or so, as much as you can. It is also proper to recite the words of taking refuge, as explained earlier, but here my Lama always practices, as is found in the refined gold. Second, it is not enough to take refuge thus during the actual session. The precepts must be practiced while during the post-meditation sessions. Having taken refuge to the Buddha, one should not seek ultimate refuge to powerful worldly goods. And the 13th Dalai Lama, while giving a reply to Pabanga Rinpoche, he has written that there is a danger that you may go against the precepts of going refuge to the three jewels. These are three objective precepts. Imagine Buddha's form as a Buddha, even if it is in bad forms and materials in regard, even letters of scripture, more than four is Dharma Ratna, and regard those holding just the science of ordination as Sangha Ratna, or supremely rare Sanghas. So through this way, avoid disrespectful of the three doors and practicing. So by properly practicing all the downfalls of this life and afterlife, and become the supreme source of benefits and happiness. So the next is intermediary verse for the means of happiness of this life, which is unstable like lightning. When I see those making effort in seeking a powerful leader and respecting him as a summit of the career and developing much joy, and those aspiring that, I feel the encountering of such crucial points that teach so profusely. The smile of being pleased of the three non-deceiving precious jewels, the protector from the intolerable fears of bad migration. Now put the bone well in your heart and make effort. So second is meditation on action and result, the root of all happiness and well-being. By recollecting the three, difficult to find leisure and endowment, debt and impermanence, and the suffering of bad existence, one may have an unsettled mind. Thinking of Dharma practice, however, if the vital point of the process of Dharma practice is not understood, one will not be contented with the enjoyments of food, clothing, which are designated as facilities of Dharma, and for that various negative deeds will be accumulated, and the time will be passed only by the eight great Dharmas. Some, by disregarding the three food, clothing, and talk, slightly service the three physical non-virtues, but they are all perverted only by the other seven and pass the time only by eight white dharmas. And thus it does not happen that the three doors are not polluted by negative deeds and infractions. The precious garland says all sufferings from non-virtues. Similarly, all bad migrations, from virtue, all heavy migrations, and in peace in all lives. Thus it is stated that the black and white actions and results are infallible. King of meditative stabilization, who is taught by the Buddha, the destroyer, the possessor, the transcendent, to whom you have earlier, while taking refuge, developed valid experience of faith, said, the moon and the stars may all fall, the mountain cities may all crumble, the space element may change into another aspect, but you will not tell untrue words. Sorry. Thus, the Abhidhamma text also says, from that, if the major ones are collected, the positive, the negative, or the non-virtues, the 10 parts of actions are taught. As said, the negative deeds are included in the 10 non-virtues. The physical actions are killing, stealing what is not giving, and sexual misconduct, adultery. The verbal actions are lying, divisive talk, harsh speech, and gossip. Mental actions are covetousness, harmful intention, and wrong view. Out of this, whatever type of sentient beings one kills, it is a non-virtue of killing. However, for example, in a case like that of Devadatta, in terms of intention, you discriminate him as such, and in terms of delusion, it is through one of the three poisons, and in terms of motivation, with a desire to kill, and then in terms of application, either by oneself or instigating others to do so, by using a weapon, and then when finally the other person dies, then the non-virtue of killing is completed. With mistaken discrimination and without the intention to kill, if the death takes place by coming under the foot, and if one dies before the other than basis, intention and application and completion are not present, complete, and thus it will not become non-virtue, but it is within the classes of killing. So here, I'm writing through the definitions of 10 negative actions. The three negative actions related to physical, four negative actions related to speech, and three to mind. So, and the exact definitions and what are the criteria that need to be assembled in order for someone or action of one of those negative actions to be completed. So, in terms of killing, even though you happen to kill someone, but if that is killed with a mistaken discrimination, then of course the negative action of killing does not become complete. And also, one need to have the right motivation or the mindset that one wishes to kill that particular person. And second is stealing. The basis is like a gold, which is not owned by oneself, but owned by others. And the discrimination is to recognize it is as gold. And the third one is sexual misconduct. The basis is those owned by others, one's own relatives, mouth, anus, etc., which is not the object of engagement. Even one's own wife, spouse, who may be object of engagement, but being in front of holy objects, pregnant, undertaking retreat, should not be recognized as it is through any of the delusions and motivated with the wish to sexually engage. Next is lying. The basis is one to whom you tell as if you possess clairvoyance, even though you do not, and so on. Next is divisive talk. The basis is like two people, and to recognize them as they are, and through any of the delusions, and the motivation is desiring to divide them. And the next is harsh speech. The basis is sentient being, that it is unpleasant, and to discriminate it as it is, and through any of the delusions with the motivation desiring to say harsh words in terms of application. One speaks unpleasant words. The next is meaningless gossip or chatter. The basis is meaningless subject other than what is included in the previous three, and the discrimination is knowing that as it is. And the next is covetousness. The basis is other people's possession, and the discrimination is identifying it as it is, and with respect to one's own wealth, having attachment and the wish to accumulate, and with regard to others' wealth, the wish to taste it, and also the mind of hatred that overpowers the sense of shame and the false. And through any of the delusions possessing these five traits, with the motivation of greed, thinking how nice if I have it, and the application is making effort for the sake of obtaining it. Next is the harmful intention. The basis is an unattractive sentient being and know it as it is, and through any of the delusions possessing five thoughts, the mind of hatred, grasping the things of the causes of harm, the mind unable to tolerate the harmer, the mind of resentment, which repeatedly recalls improbable mental engagement. Next is the wrong view with the basis, object of action and the result when you think that they do not exist and through any of the delusions with the motivation desiring to deny and abrogation is to think it does not exist as thought and the abrogation is to that. And in the Shamar Lamrim text, it is stated that one without having a very pure or the correct understanding about the tantric rituals, then if we engage in all those tantric practices, especially the violent or the wrathful ones, it may end up in one of these 10 negative actions or the harmful intentions. So therefore, it is very important that we are careful about such practices. So, till here is the brief definition of 10 negative actions. And next is about the heaviness and the lightness even among these 10. So, those that are motivated by intense afflicted emotions, object killing, someone like Lama, or parents robbing their wealth, property, and so on, and dividing, using harsh word, developing covetousness and harming. Likewise, in the case of animals, killing those with bigger body size, stealing costly and many things, or engaging in divisive talk and lying that divide sangha, accepting non-arisal of arhats, or not regretting and restraining negative deeds, and happily developing them and so on. As can be inferred through logic, these are very heavy. Those contrary to these are comparatively, in terms of comparison, are lighter. Here also, just as even when we plant multifarious seeds, the sprout arises without mistake. Likewise, by very heavy negative deeds, the fruit of maturation will be birthed in hell. So, what are the environmental results having engaged in these 10 negative actions? By killing, the power of food, drinks, and the medicines will decline. By taking what is not given, crops and fruits will become less. By sexual misconduct, the place will have a lot of muds and dirt. The divisive talk, the place will be uneven and difficult to travel. By harsh speech, unpleasant things like stumps, thorns, and so on. By idle gossip, the tree will not bear fruits. By covetousness, all perfections will gradually decrease. By harmful intention, sickness and disturbance and many harms from human beings and non-human beings. And by wrong view, there will be perversion of bad and good. Thus, the maturation and similitude, the cause will arrive upon the individual person, and the environmental result will happen in the place in the land where he lives. These are all two types, definite and indefinite, in terms of the ripening of their results. In the case of indefinite, if the factors are not encountered, the ripened results will not be given. An occasion of ensuing is also explained, but in the case of majority of the actions that we accumulate, they are motivated by the three intense poisons. Continuous performance of negative deeds and turn to special objects and so on, thus the definite ones are more. This is also stated by Vasubandhu. In the accumulations among evident objects, and there are three definite aspects, like definite experience and so on. As stated, there are three, for example, among what has happened in the past, by speaking negatively towards Sangha as a woman, so the karma which we have accumulated, which will drive us to be reborn to the lower rebirths. So if we do not eliminate by all to the purifications needed in order to clear those karmas, then this kind of karmic actions can be termed as definite, that we're going to undergo the result of that karma. If one has an action that is definite to be born and dissolve from, it is not possible to achieve a result free of desire. If one has an action definite to be born in cyclic existence, it will not be possible to get liberated from cyclic existence in that life, and so on. Thus, the presentation of action and their results, as just explained, should be ascertained of these three poisons within one's mental continuum and killing, taking what is not given, and so on, which are motivated by it. As a result, by having eliminated killing through powerful virtues, the ripened result will be achievement of human life, result concordant to the cause. If long life and dominant result is the medicines, will be powerful. Represented by these results of non-virtues should be thoroughly contemplated and meditated until aspiration develops. If the vital points of virtues and non-virtues process is analyzed thoroughly, an act like giving, which is influenced solely by virtuous minds, the basis, thought application, and right up to conclusion, as explained above, is a totally wide action. One that is influenced totally by negative mind, right from the basis to the ultimate, like killing for one's own purpose, is a totally negative action. In this way, after having meditated through both analytical and stabilizing on the nature and the fruits of virtue and non-virtue, in order to cultivate the 10 virtues just mentioned and in order to achieve a good omniscience, it is definite necessity not to be contaminated by the non-virtues explained. However, as is evident to oneself, even in this life, so much negative deeds has been accumulated, and what this cannot compete even a fraction is a countless accumulation of non-virtue. As it is stated in the letter to the friend, you should not commit non-virtues even for the sake of Brahmins, bhikshus, gods, guests, parents, queen and subjects, as there is no one that will share the ripened result of health with you. As stated, when the ripened result of the negative deeds done for others is experienced, you cannot share them with these objects and they will fall just upon oneself. Since the irreversibility of a definite to experience action is taught in the Abhidharma, whatever be the case, it seems it is not possible for me to get liberated from cyclic existence. The epistle to the friend again says, even someone who from being careless in the past becomes careful later is also very beautiful, like a moon free from the clouds, like Ananda, Angulimala, Dongden and Deje. As stated, even Ananda, who has excessive attachment to his wife, Angulimala, who killed 1,000 short of one, Ajatshatru, who killed his father, Sujinyingbo through the act of compassion and restraint got purified, and the first to achieve Arhat, and even though killed his mother, but due to repentance or regretful mind performed adoption and elimination, properly born in hell, just like a sick ball, and it is stated that he achieved the fruit of stream before Bhagavan. Think that even if I'm unable to achieve such a state, I will ensure to close the door of bad migration and one's mind instigated. To them, develop a firm aspiration of actual supremely reverence to the negative deeds done earlier, develop instant mind of regret, desiring to rebuke, like having the poison went within, and mind restraint that turns away from the false, thinking that I will not do so later, even at the cost of my life. Preceded by this, like relying on the panacea of white medicine, the confession of four powers composed by Jetanya Chimbo, the Lord of the Great Compassion, and likewise the Sutra of Three Heaps, repeating mantras, like the name mantra of the Tathagata that purifies bad migration and negative deeds and prostrating, with that is the actual practice. In the major texts, during the repetition, the confession of sublime golden light is taught with intention, counting the falls, reading the sutras, building images and forms, and making offerings. During the thoroughly employment of antidote are done in terms of certainty of actualization and positions. So next is the intermediary verses. Those whose eye for seeing what is to be adopted and discarding are blinded by the category of thick ignorance in lives regard cleansing of the face and dirt of clothes as of great meaning. Some intentionally brave difficulties with the three doors and lay endless and intense effort of hardship for the draws of water and trees, birds' path of material way that finishes even when accumulated. So, as we all know that the material world, that even though we work hard to earn and accumulate a huge material wealth, but eventually it is by nature by itself that it will be finished. Why need to become the fuel of health, even respite in the state of consuming as sleep or distracting air dharmas, like destroying enemy and taking care of friends? Similar to the happiness and suffering of the object of dream, an ignorant without knowledge engaging in non-virtuous actions for the sake of this life is true. I, while having heard many scriptures through the permanent career in the wind is embracing. Friends, whatever seed is planted in the spring, the fruits arriving individually respectively in the autumn. So the below is summarized verses based on the practice of the smaller beings. The eloquent lord of speech, whose throat is embraced by Manjushri, the great compassionate one, in the very form of lotus halter, in the manner of the owner of the secret, the powerful one, is Tsongkhapa, the player of the illusion like three lineages. I have completed explaining in accordance with the teachings of my Lama tutor. So here, the composer says that without the need of great details of the outlines and the explanations, he has summarized in a few verses the essence of the practice of the smaller being. Without mistake and little words, detailed meaning and easy to understand.